from the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
To me, the real shame is the university administration that really doesn't seem to understand what a university is. A university is a place where you don't have your prejudices confirmed, where you're exposed to a broad range of ideas. Clearly, they don't seem to understand what a university is.
This is your host, Scott Bertrand, and that's Dr. David Azarad, assistant professor and research fellow at Hillsdale College's Van Andel Graduate School of Government in Washington, D.C. We spend time with him today talking about his recent lecture at St. Vincent College and the fallout from it. Dr. Azarad, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's nice to be with you again, Scott.
We want to talk to you today and get your account of your experience at St. Vincent College. Let's start at the start, Dr. Azarad. The speech that you gave at St. Vincent College a couple of weeks ago, where does it begin? How were you asked? What were your expectations at St. Vincent for this conference, which was titled Politics, Policy, and Panic, Governing in a Time of Crisis?
Yes, so the politics department that is headed by Brad Watson, who's a great guy and a friend of Hillsdale College, he runs this center, and every year they put on a conference. They invite professors, intellectuals. People present papers. It's open to the general public. Faculty and students show up, and then the papers are published, usually in an edited volume. And the paper I pitched him on was Black Privilege and Racial Hysteria in Contemporary America. And the point of the paper was to document all of the special privileges that the laws and the mores extend to Black Americans at the expense generally of white Americans, and most definitely that are not extended to white Americans. The title is provocative, but the substance is, you know, basically a defense of the idea of equality before the law and meritocracy in the private sector. It's, you know, the core American ideals that we should be treated equally and that therefore that, you know, what gets called affirmative action, which is quite the euphemism, it's basically preferential treatment for some, is unjust. It does a disservice to Black people, and it does a great disservice to America because it erodes our commitment to equality under the law and meritocracy. Several students came to, I don't want to say protest the talk, but, I mean, they came just for this talk. They were generally well behaved while I gave the talk. There were a couple of light heckles, but on the whole, it went off without a glitch. And then I spent a full hour, which was 45 minutes more than what the schedule allowed for, answering their questions. And so I would say, given the provocative nature of the subject, you know, it went, I think, as well as it could go, that I was allowed to speak. I answered mm-hmm. their questions. Afterwards, I stayed and answered even more questions.
Right.
No one yelled.
So that was the event itself and the lecture itself. What happens after the fact?
Afterwards, a handful of students and people who, I think, didn't even attend the talk heard about it and started making noise and complaining to the university administration. Now, there were plenty of people who loved the talk because I spent another day on campus and was greeted like a war hero wherever I went. People were coming up to me telling me, I can't believe your courage. What you said was amazing. Thank you for saying this. So clearly a lot of people liked it, but as is inevitable, a handful of people who make the most noise were not happy with it. They couldn't really point to anything substantive that they disagreed with, that they thought was factually inaccurate. It was more of a, I don't want to hear this, and this person should not be allowed to say it. And then this is where it gets really pathetic, is that the adults running the university, the dean, the president, just immediately cowered in fear before these aggrieved people, issued a letter slandering me as a racist, and then instituted a policy saying from here onward, every speaker on campus has to be approved by the president. And the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, which is a free speech college group, says mm-hmm. that in their 20 years of existence, they have never seen such a policy on a campus anywhere in America. So, you know, I think you know, kids are going to be kids. I mean, I don't think we expect college students to have fully formed characters. I mean, maybe we should, but we don't anymore. Yeah, so they were not happy with the talk, and they caused a bit of a stink. To me, the real shame is the university administration that really doesn't seem to understand what a university is, which is it is not a safe space for ideas. A university is a place where you don't have your prejudices confirmed, where you're exposed to a broad range of ideas. And clearly, they don't seem to understand what a university is. And it's a shame because it'll end up being to the detriment of the students at St. Vincent College, mm-hmm. who will have a college experience that will further, with taking place within narrow intellectual horizons.
Dr. David Azraz is with us, assistant professor and research fellow at Hillsdale College's Van Andel Graduate School of Government in Washington, D.C. We're talking about his experience at St. Vincent College, giving that speech and the fallout and feedback, mostly fallout from the college itself. So moving forward at St. Vincent College, what's the procedure, as far as you can tell, for how speakers can be approved and talk on campus, and do you expect to be invited back anytime soon?
Well, I definitely don't expect to be invited back to talk about anything, any contentious subject. Maybe if I wanted to go back and give a talk on John Locke, they might approve me. I take it that the policy will be that the president has to pre-approve every topic, but the university is now receiving a lot of criticism. I mean, this has become a third-tier national news story.
The administration, in their letter from last month, said that they were trying to protect the diversity of opinion critical to our students' educational growth, and henceforth only, quote, responsible opinion will be allowed to be expressed at St. Vincent. So who now is the judge of responsible opinion, David?
Yeah, no, I'm just laughing at the we're going to have diversity of opinion by narrowing the range of opinion.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to invoke Orwell. It's so overdone, but, I mean, this is just laughable. I'm not a free speech absolutist. I think, you know, if someone has some completely insane and genocidal theory, I don't think that person has a right to speak on campus. So the point is just, I gave a talk that is so within the mainstream of the views of ordinary Americans, the idea that we should be treated equally and not give preferential treatment to some. It just turns out that this is a view that is now, you know, entering Third Reich territory for the elites, for the laptop class, for people with, generally speaking, blue check marks on Twitter. So this idea that you could denounce affirmative action and call for equal treatment is the height of racism for them. So that's what I find really insane, is not that, you know, a university would want to restrict some extreme views on campus. I mean, I think that's a defensible proposition. It's just, look at what I actually said. I mean, if any of the listeners are interested, you can find the talk on YouTube and listen to it for yourself. And one thing that to me was encouraging from all of this is they really, I repeat that, could point to nothing within the talk that was kind of a gotcha racist statement, like, aha, he said this. It was more of a, we didn't want to hear this, and he should not be allowed to say this.
Dr. David Azraz, assistant professor and research fellow at Hillsdale College's Van Andel Graduate School of Government in Washington, D.C. And if you want to hear the speech he gave at St. Vincent College, you can find it on YouTube. Dr. Azraz, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks, Scott.
Up next, we talk with Titus Tekera from the American Cinema Foundation about film noir and themes found inside one of the classics of the genre. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to check out the redesigned website, radiohour.hillsdale.edu. radiohour.hillsdale.edu. We're joined now by Titus Takara, who is with the American Cinema Foundation. He's also on campus as part of our CCA lecture series on film noir. You can follow him on Twitter at Titus Film. That's T-I-T-U-S. Titus, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot for inviting me, Scott. It's been a blast. I've been here a week, and I'm just one conversation after another about everything I've ever wanted to read about, from classical poetry or Renaissance painting this morning to politics and, of course, cinema, which is what I do.
I want to talk with you about a little about your lecture here on campus, which was titled Beauty, Tragedy, Law, and Advertising. Your lecture followed a screening of a film, a noir, called Laura, and it's one that you chose, so a lot of the themes that we'll talk about here today bounce off of the plot and themes inside of Laura. What can you tell us, at least briefly, about sort of the plot? What should people know about this? They should go see it, first of all, but what should people know about Laura?
Yeah, let me see if I can get you to go watch this movie, as everybody did here for the screening, as I do about every year. I don't mind saying I love it, because it's the most beautiful of the noirs. There's much less of the sordid, there's much more of the elegant.
Mm-hmm.
It's, in a way, a gorgeous love story. This woman, played by Jean Tierney, is coming to the big city from Nowheresville, and she wants to make it in America, but she also brings with her, from where she's from, the kindness and the good nature, the helpfulness of Americans. And then she's caught in a life of glamour that almost gets her killed. And there are these three men, one a very sophisticated culture guy, one of them a southerner, not a northerner, a cad who's coming from a past that's sort of romantic but sort of dangerous like the South. And then a detective, used to be a beat cop, this Irish straight shooter guy played by Dana Andrews. And she has to choose, so to speak, between these three men. So very American story.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I wanted people to see it. It's something that will immediately speak to young men and young women, but also give them a vision of how artists thought America is going through great, great trouble. It's only obvious to say a few elite people who are trying to embody the American dream that everybody else aspires to, but will soon generalize. Problems that start in the elite reach us all sooner or later.
Yes. So the themes on your lecture, maybe we'll take them one at a time, we'll see, but beauty. We talk a lot about beauty here on campus, the good, the true, and the beautiful. And Laura, you have this woman who is being pursued by three men who are all attracted to her beauty. Is that a warning? Can beauty corrupt us? Can the pursuit of beauty lead to bad things?
Yeah, and of course, this is especially a very Hollywood theme for real artists. We love to see beautiful people on screen. Primarily, we think, huh, these beautiful people, we should pay more attention to them. We should make them into celebrities. They must be nice. Probably they're going to be good for us. Not necessarily. You might end up with these people hating your guts. It's not an example that very celebrated, very beautiful people will despise everybody else. The great critical columnist, very sophisticated type in Laura, played by Clifton Webb, Waldo Leidecker, he whom millions of Americans are listening to get their ideas of beauty from, is a kind of rotten guy. It didn't work out for him. He didn't want to end up this way. But he thought, you know, I love beauty and I can have beauty and I can share beauty with people and then their lives will be more beautiful. Maybe not.
Is beauty in some ways, not all the time, of course, is beauty in some ways a facade? Does it shield us from the hard realities that we want to avoid?
Yeah, certainly. That's why we look for it. We know there's going to be crime, there's going to be injustice. That's why it's there in the noir, it's there in reality. But even in noir, we want to beautify our lives. We'd like that guy to speak and look like Bogart. We'd like him to be as tough as Dana Andrews and show a kind of gentle side, too, and have a bit of a sense of humor. Because otherwise, this stuff will break your heart. And that's what he is facing in the movie. He sees this beautiful, beautiful woman, and everybody talks about her as though she were an angel. She was not just beautiful, but actually doing good things for people. And yet somehow, that beauty that attracted people also hid some terrible danger that led to her murder.
Advertising. I love this line that you said in your lecture, which is that advertising is people selling fantasy to Americans, people who then essentially want to control your thoughts and desires. What do you want to purchase? What do you want to buy? Who do you want to be? Where does advertising fall into this conversation about beauty and what we are and what we want to be, what we strive to be as a country?
You know, going back to Ben Franklin in America, you kind of have to be a self-made man. You don't get your job from your dad, much less your family or your spouse. You have to make a lot of choices. You're going to have to make a lot of decisions about your life. And so what are you going to choose? It's advertising that offers people from childhood on, you can be a princess, you can be a Marvel hero. Maybe you're not going to be Spider-Man, but somehow you feel like that, or maybe people will like you better. You'll get your identity as an American from the Disney Corporation. Mm. Is that really good? Is it even real? It's of course a lot of nonsense, but yeah, it's very hard. You have to make a lot of choices. You have to know what your choices are. You have to see your options. Are you attracted by them? And so it plays on your desires. It plays on your fantasies. What could I be? I don't know who I am. I'm going to have to discover it. What could I be? And so people have options or possibilities, but are never more than two or three steps away from something really bad happening that's the end of any chance you have with your happiness. Lots of people go crazy or are very angry or bitter. America ain't perfect in that way, precisely for this reason. Freedom is a very dangerous thing. It would not be noble, it would not be great, if there were no great risk.
Beauty, Tragedy, Law, and Advertising, again, is the theme of the lecture by Titus Takara here at Hillsdale College, talking about the noir film Laura. I guess toward the law angle, so many of these noirs involve police officers or detectives trying to find the truth. And you mentioned both in a lunch we had this week and then also in your lecture about the way that the public service, giving yourself to the greater good, in many ways means that you yourself lose part of yourself. You lose these private things that now you cannot have. How do we see that play out?
I think these heroes focus on something that everybody could kind of notice, but we don't quite know how to deal with. Even if you just have a very demanding job and you're 12, 14 hours a week on this, where's your private life? You're just not going to have a lot of hours for anything. Friends, family, I don't know, whistling Dixie and going out fishing. Where's the time? Being American is not just life, it's a job, and it's incredibly demanding. Every morning you get up and you have to do so many things. And so people naturally react when they see these actors, these play-out characters that are trying very hard to embody American ideals, be a man that the rest of America admires, and therefore they will approve of you because you're doing something good for them and kind of guiding them in the right direction. And you end up feeling that there's no inside of me left. I put myself all out there. And, you know, what's left? Dana Andrews in Laura is falling in love with this woman because he has to solve her murder, and so he has to care. What was she about? What was stolen from her and from us? You know, you have to care about the person if you're going to do justice. But he realizes that there's nothing for me. This will do justice. It'll do good for New York, for America. What does it do for me? It just reminds him of this possibility with this woman. He could have had love, but he was always on the job. And so to solve the crime, he has to risk his own heart in a very strange way. Very interesting.
Titus Takara from the American Cinema Foundation. Follow him on Twitter at Titus Film. That's T-I-T-U-S. And check out the American Cinema Foundation podcast, where he hosts and is not the guest for those particular programs. You can also find his lecture, too. I know it's on our Facebook page right now, Hillsdale's Facebook page, Beauty, Tragedy, Law, and Advertising. Titus, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thanks a lot for inviting me, Scott. Very good to be here.
Up next, Ken Calvert, Hillsdale Professor of Ancient History. We discuss the rise and fall of Greek democracy. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
We're back on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Scott Bertram. We're joined by Dr. Ken Calvert, Professor of Ancient History here at Hillsdale College. Dr. Calvert, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
This time, the rise and fall of Greek democracy.
That's right.
What's the time period we're talking about here?
Well, we are really talking about the 5th century B.C., and the establishment of Greek democracy by Cleisthenes right around 509 B.C. and following. So late 6th century into the 5th century B.C.
Yep. So what's happening in Athens around this time?
Right. Athens has been really growing in economic activity, trade, really becoming one of the top city-states in the Aegean and competing with places like Corinth or Miletus, some of the other Greek city-states, and they really have come to a high point of economic activity. And it's out of this economic activity that you really have the development of democracy. If you're going to be asking the citizens to be fight for the city, if you're going to ask the citizens to pay taxes, they're going to begin to demand something to say in the government, right? They're going to be have a say in it. And so what you have here in Athens is the rise of a population that wants greater and greater participation in the politics. Yeah.
As Greek democracy is rising, what do they learn, by extension, we learn about the strengths and perhaps the weaknesses of democracy?
So on the one hand, Herodotus says, you know, through one of the interlocutors in this text, that Herodotus is, you know, he's really expressing this idea of democracy being a wonderful thing, that the rule, the law, it lies with the people. The other side of that coin comes from the other two men in this debate, and they say, well, look, democracy, you know, might be okay for a group of people, but in the end, it dissolves into mob rule. And in the end, it is like a stream swollen in springtime. It's a flood, and it has no reason to it. It has no rational direction. And a very, very interesting response to this argument of democracy is the idea that democracy is ruled by emotion. And if the citizenry is not trained well and not educated well, if the citizenry is not virtuous, then you're going to have citizens following other citizens and do things that they wouldn't otherwise do as individuals. And so this rule of the mob. And you have a very strong argument for a balance of rule against, you know, the mob and this general view of the population and actions of the population, balanced by people who have maybe a little bit more wisdom, are using their reason, capital R, a little more fully. And the founding fathers, our founding fathers, understood this. You see this in the Federalist Papers, that they really are not interested in a pure democracy because they have seen through Greek history and Roman history what that can produce. It's not that they're against that democratic element within our government, but it has to be balanced.
Dr. Ken Calvert with us, professor of ancient history at Hillsdale College, talking Greek democracy, the rise and fall. Following up on something you mentioned, what do we miss out on with a citizenry that is not educated in virtue?
Right.
And if we want that, how do we achieve it?
Right. So this is important, of course, to the mission of Hillsdale College. We talk about Hillsdale Academy, this K through 12 school, which is a classical school and Christian in its emphasis. We're working through the Barney Charter School Initiative, which is going in the public sphere, also introducing classical education with a high understanding of, you know, of philosophic virtue. And we really are working at Hillsdale to reintroduce into the public sphere and into education its whole argument, the philosophy that undergirds our educational system. We're trying to introduce what our founders understood to be the essentials of education. You know, we talk a lot about the Northwest Ordinance of 1787 around here, and Article 3 is religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government, schools will forever be encouraged. So schools are to have that morality, that religion, that knowledge, the kinds of virtues that our founders understood to be essential. They believed in public education, not federally controlled. Again, getting back to the Northwest Ordinance, it's locally controlled, but with the understand that that public education, locally controlled, is going to instill in the children not only knowledge. Knowledge is important, of course, you know, all of your reading, writing, arithmetic, right? But also the foundations of the virtues that are essential for a good citizen, a thoughtful citizen, and a citizen that's not going to bow to mob rule.
As we get closer to the fall of Greek democracy, what happens in Athens after the end of the Persian War.
Right. So the Persians are defeated. Athens is famous at the end. Everybody loves Athens because they had led the way against Persia. This small group of ragtag Greek city-states had defeated the greatest empire in the world. Just truly, truly amazing. And so Athens was kind of at the end of that, 480, 479 BC, at the height of their fame. The problem is, and this is another lesson in history, is that Athens, with her democracy, becomes very much focused upon itself.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. And what they do is they begin to create an empire. An empire based on a league that had been developed among these Greeks called the Delian League. It was to be a defensive league to hold back another Persian invasion. And what Athens did was basically make that league into their empire. And so we talk about Imperial Athens. And this, Scott, is a really important lesson for us. Athens is going to be destroyed in the Peloponnesian Wars of 431 to 404. It's going to lose, and democracy will continue, but it's just going to limp along.
Hmm.
And we often think of an empire as something created by a monarch. Democracies can create empires, right? The Roman Republic, the Roman Empire itself, was created by the Republic. By the time the emperors come along, Octavius or Caesar Augustus, as we know him, Augustus being the first emperor, he inherits the empire from the Republic. The Republic created it, and it's what ultimately destroyed the Republic as well.
How long would it be, or when will we see perhaps the next great democracy spring up after the Greek democracy?
Well, you know, you find, for instance, in the Swiss cantons, you find at various points through the history, through European history, these little sparks of democracy emerge. But really, it isn't until our founders sit down and start to think through this in 1787. This, I would argue this. You know, Adams was a great historian of this. He looked through, studied all of these various forms of government. And when they sat down, these great philosophers and historians sat down in 1787 to hammer out this constitution, they were looking at a whole history. What they knew of it, a whole history of attempts to bring about free society. They looked at Athens, they studied Thucydides, and they said, okay, this is what happens to democracies. How can we do better?
Mm-hmm.
They looked at Cicero, the Roman historian, who came at the end of the Republic. The greatest philosopher of Roman republicanism comes at the end.
Mm.
And they said, okay, the Republic failed. Why? Let's look at Cicero. Study Cicero. So they're studying Thucydides, Aristotle, Cicero, and trying to bring forward into the 18th century, the 1780s, all of the lessons that they had learned from ancient classical history, put it to work in America.
Dr. Ken Calvert, professor of ancient history, talking about Greek democracy, its rise and fall. Dr. Calvert, thanks for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you, Scott. Happy to be here.
Up next, we talk with David Randall from the Civics Alliance and the National Association of Scholars about a recent study in civics in K-12 education. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Everyone should feel safe in Shasta County, period. This is Baron Browning. Being a father and a Marine, and the Mayor of Anderson has taught me that effective leadership comes from the willingness to put your own agenda aside and communicate with everyone. The people of Anderson did just that, and together we've made it one of the greatest and safest communities to live in. Let's make sure that all of our public safety personnel are not hamstrung with low funding and staffing by providing them the resources needed to keep our community safe. Vote Baron Browning for Shasta County Supervisor, District 5.
Paid for by the committee to elect Baron Browning for Supervisor 2022.
We need all units to respond.
Violent crime right
California, under siege.
Arch gang related.
Criminals set free.
Defund their local police.
Police attacked.
Increase in shooting victims.
Victims ignored.
I shot my little brother.
Ultra-liberal California Attorney General Rob Bonta has never personally prosecuted drug traffickers or violent gang members. He has zero experience to do the job. Nathan Hochman does. Nathan is the one candidate for Attorney General endorsed by the California Republican Party. He's the only candidate with the real experience to keep us safe. As Assistant U.S. Attorney, Hochman prosecuted corrupt government officials and locked up violent drug traffickers and gang members.
I'm Nathan Hochman. What's happening in California is unacceptable. Politicians ignore us while communities are attacked. As Attorney General, I'll actually do the job and prosecute criminals. I will always protect California first.
Nathan Hochman, an Attorney General who will keep us safe.
Paid for by Nathan Hochman for Attorney General 2022.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
It looks like spring, the time of year for dust, pollen, busy birds, and bugs. The time to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Quick and Clean Car Wash is fast and convenient at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. To find out more about Hillsdale College for prospective students, for alumni, or friends of Hillsdale, check out hillsdale.edu. We're joined now by Dr. David Randall. He is Director of Research at the National Association of Scholars and the Project Director of the Civics Alliance. And we talk today about a new report, Learning for Self-Government, a K-12 Civics Report Card. Dr. Randall, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And people can find this report at nas.org or also at civicsalliance.org. What is the mission? What's the purpose for putting together a K-12 civics report card like the one that you have?
The point is to find out what is being done, both badly and well. The badly, the action civics, the progressive distortion of civics, to alert people to what's being done in the name of civics education. The report on what's being done well, to say what's already being done well so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel each time. To say, this does this well for teacher education, teaching American history program. This does this well for providing a good syllabus. This has a good textbook. These are some good lesson plans. And to say, you don't need to start from zero. You can, whatever you do, you can slot into good stuff that's already being done.
So people can see the report card, and there are certain curriculums that get D's and F's, and you say in the report that if you have a D or F, there's actually an attempt to destroy traditional civics. What do you mean by traditional civics, and how are those curriculums undermining that effort?
Traditional civics is classroom education, which teaches you how does the Constitution work? What were the founding fathers thinking by reading the Federalist? What can you do to learn about the history of the American people and how they have worked to institutionalize liberty? And above all, don't be partisan. To say if this is meant to make you a better citizen, it's not to be done in class. And it's not to foreclose your options. The entire modern progressive movement, unfortunately, has used the name civics to cover what is really either partisan propaganda, for progressive causes, and sharply limited, understanding of what the Constitution does. And then above all, action civics, protest civics. What this is vocational credit, vocational training in classroom time for a cause, a nonprofit organization outside the classroom.
And so this phrase you've mentioned, action civics, you've explained it a bit there. How does action civics degrade the quality or the respect given to classroom education? And also, how does action civics differ from just straight out volunteering?
They specifically say that it's not volunteering. So action civics or civic engagement is built actually on the pedagogy of service learning, which also tilts in a progressive direction and deliberately, although not quite so much. It is meant to transform your mind. And that means, what they mean is to become politically, an activist. You are supposed, charity, volunteerism, is trying to feed the hungry. Service learning, civic engagement, is to say there is an issue of food justice, and I must politically mobilize in favor of it. I must become a political activist for this issue, where it's not a question of charity. It's a question of you must do this. Whatever I say will help out, the hungry, even if it's counterproductive. That's the difference. I mean, I must say, I've often thought, the most noble thing you could do as a volunteer would be to work in a hospice. I'm almost positive that if you service learning or civic engagement got into it, it would become forced euthanasia rights.
Dr. David Randall with us, Director of Research at the National Association of Scholars, Project Director at the Civics Alliance, and this report, Learning for Self-Government, a K-12 Civics Report Card. You write, or the report writes, civics reformers in 2021 do not need to reinvent the wheel. What are the tried and true things that perhaps should be included in a traditional civics education?
So, you do, I think, need a good, solid textbook which gives you the simple explanation of what the federal government does. What are our constitutional rights? That's absolutely central. Beyond that, you do want to latch on, sequences of lesson plans or individual lesson plans. So you want to, you know, teachers, can teachers have a sequence on the First Amendment? Can they have an individual class on the Second Amendment? You want all that. Teacher training is absolutely vital. Teachers can't teach what they don't know. So you need the teacher training classes, and this is unfortunately, you know, not the education schools, which have been seized by progressive partisans long since, and in any case don't have much in the way of requiring subject knowledge. You need places, therefore, like Teaching American History, which provide, you know, in person and online, you know, a master's in American history, which will qualify a social studies teacher to actually know, you know, what they're teaching about.
Dr. David Randall with us. We talk about Learning for Self-Government, a K-12 Civics Report Card. Find it at nas.org or civicsalliance.org. Those programs that are at the top or near the top of the rankings, why are they held in such high esteem?
Well, so anything B and above, they're trying to do something traditional and correct. You know, some of them make compromises. The Bill of Rights Institute is well-intentioned on, you know, wanting people to care about the Bill of Rights, but they've signed on to Action Civics, too. So they're trying to prove that you can be for Action Civics and for individual liberty. I think this is a losing bet, but it's the one they're making. But, you know, still, B minus or so. I'll simply go straight toward the top. You get stuff like 1776 Unite, which is trying to have an optimistic, uplifting, and patriotic version of Black history. It's trying to oppose the 1619 Project, which is attempting to counsel not only, you know, the evil, foundational evil of America, but, you know, simply, you know, despair for Black students. And, you know, so 1776 Unites, founded by Robert Woodson, I believe that is, Bob Woodson, is trying, as I say, to have a positive and patriotic view of Black history instead. You know, have, you know, various notables like Glenn Lowry and signed up to, you know, as supporters. So, you know, all power to them. It's a wonderful job. And then, you know, and this is Hillsdale. Hillsdale did get the top job, and that's basically because, gosh, academic rigor, simply to start with. It was the only one that's really meant for 12th graders rather than 9th graders. It pushes students. It gives them, you know, loads of primary sources. It enables them to actually think and debate about American government. You know, what it is, what it was founded on, what it's for. It's even if you were to disagree with any part of the Hillsdale philosophy, you'd just be blown away with the academic rigor. That combination, it's a rather good philosophy, and the academic rigor combined is what gets the BA.
Dr. David Randall, Director of Research at National Association of Scholars, Project Director of Civics Alliance, and you can find this report in both those places, nas.org and civicsalliance.org. It's Learning for Self-Government, a K-12 Civics Report Card. Dr. Randall, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Thank you so much for having me.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to David Azarad from Hillsdale in D.C., talking about his lecture at St. Vincent College and the fallout afterward. Titus Tekera from the American Cinema Foundation told us about film noir and Laura. Ken Calvert, professor of ancient history at Hillsdale College, on the rise and fall of Greek democracy. And finally, David Randall, policy director at the Civics Alliance, on the new report on civics education in our K-12 schools. You can hear new episodes every week on this station, or you can find extended versions of some of our interviews and listen anytime to the podcast. Search for the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Find us on Twitter at Hillsdale Radio and follow us on Facebook. Email us at radiohour@hillsdale.edu. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
California is headed in the wrong direction. Let's make sure we have representatives who fight for us. Assemblyman James Gallagher is that type of representative. When fires destroyed local homes and towns, James Gallagher forced Sacramento to act and got us the needed resources to rebuild. When the Oroville Dam failed, James Gallagher fought the bureaucrats to get the dam fixed and help those that were affected. James Gallagher has always been a fighter for us.
This is James Gallagher. Gavin Newsom and his liberal allies don't listen to us, don't understand our values, and don't care about our part of California. I took Newsom to court to stop his unconstitutional power grab, and I'm fighting the bad ideas, excessive taxes, and high gas prices that are harming our state. With your support, I'll keep fighting for you.
Paid for by James Gallagher for State Assembly, 2022.
This is so frustrating.
What's up?
Well, I'm trying to order my wedding invitations on Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Huh?
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it. Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Tutankhamun, Wonderful Things, Treasures from the Pharaoh's Tomb is open now through September 5th in Reading at Turtle Bay Museum, featuring authentic reproductions of King Tut's ancient Egyptian treasures. Presented by Senator K. Maurice and Mary Ann Johannesson in association with the Museum of Ancient Wonders. This exhibition is included with paid park admission, free for Turtle Bay members. Tutankhamun, Wonderful Things, Treasures from the Pharaoh's Tomb, open now through September 5th at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.